always listen to my parents. I will stick with you, my dear.
Chair and the honorable members, I will be presenting the quarterly report of the department for the third quarter, and as well as the last quarter, because the letter also said we must indicate a detailed plan of how we'll be able to resolve the issue of underspending in the department. Chair, I've just, firstly, just to give the, I'll be covering, Chair, can you run the slide? Chair, we'll be covering a program structure of the department. What is the third quarter expenditure for the department? What interventions which we have put in place to address the underspending? And what is the fourth quarter expenditure for 2019? Chair, the department is running four programs: administration, which is to provide overall management of the department and centralized support services. Program 2 is services to citizens, which deals with our core functions in terms of granting rights and citizenship to enable members of the population. The third program is the National Immigration Services, which deals with the control of immigration according to South Africa's skills and investment needs, and administer refugees and asylum seekers in South Africa. And then the fourth program is dealing with the transfers. In terms of the third quarter report, as is indicated in the report from National Treasury, the department is at 71%, as we indicated in your letter. In terms of the programs, program one, we are at 75%, which is equal to the norm of the National Treasury, which is 75%. Then the underspending was in the services to citizens, and then also with the immigration, and then with the transfers were more than the 75%, because we transferred the wool transfer for government printing works on the first quarter. But I'll be going now to the reasons for that. In terms of economic classification, we're at 72% in terms of personnel, and in goods and services, 61%. As I've indicated, on transfers, we're above 88%, and capital assets, 53%. The reasons for that, Chair, if I take first the compensation of services, it has been the delays in the filling of the vacant funded post due to migration process. As we indicated, Chair, even in the last quarter, that the department finalized the immigration of the SMS members, and now was dealing with the lower level. So there was that savings due to that. Then with the goods and services, Chair, I think it's what we've already talked about. The reason is that the money for smart card, which is under civic services, did not move. And then also claims for foreign missions. What means is that the Department of Foreign Affairs is paying expenses on behalf of, in terms of our people transferred abroad. So the claims we have not yet received. And then we're also running a customer service center, so there was savings there. We think we were a little bit over budgeting for that. Then with the capital assets, 2010 projects for capital, there was one which was linked with it. And then the issue of smart card, because smart card is both for your goods and services and as well as the capital assets. And then there were savings around our security systems. Then what interventions did we do, Chair? When we realized that there were no movement on these issues, we did approach National Treasury for the shifting of the funds, because these funds are earmarked, which that approval was granted. And then the money has been shifted to our movement control system, which we are building with SARS, but it will be a rollover. I'm not going to spend it in the 2019. And then it was the issue of paying the government printing works, where we're owing them a certain amount, and the issue of legal fees to the Department of Justice and payment to the government. So Treasury gave us that approval. As a result of that, for the fourth quarter, Chair, we are at 98.7%, and the savings are only with regard to the system. extinguish our building with SARS under immigration services. That's when I will spend 94.9%. So that balance will be rolled over to April, and then we'll deal with the system. So as a department, we have spent our budget to the last cent. Then in terms of economic classification, you'll see that in each one now we're 100% except on the goods and services for the system. So the savings, as I indicated, is only the money which will be rolling it over, and Treasury has already agreed to that. That's what we'll do. Then, sir, with regard to who am I online, the department, which is already on the media, chair, the department informed the supplier that given the failure to perform and deliver in accordance with their undertaking, the department engaged the services of SARS. That's why I'm talking about that money as well. Furthermore, the supplier was informed that in the course of considering the process and documentation leading to the contract of 9th July 2008, it became apparent that on various grounds, the contract was invalid and unenforceable. And then the matter is now with our legal team for further consideration. So, Chair, in summary, the department now has sped up to 98.7%. And with regard to funds which were earmarked, we have requested approval from National Treasury, which was given to deal with those matters. And with regard to who am I online, we are with the lawyers on the matter.
Okay, thank you. So is that your presentation? No questions. Okay. Members, those members who would like to raise questions and comments. Honorable Saab, Honorable Zwade, Honorable Matlakane, is your hand up?
Yes.
Or touching your forehead? Okay. Now, fine, in that order.
Thank you, Chair. I'm sorry to hear that the Treasury has already agreed to certain rollover of funds which we, as an Appropriation Committee, don't like, but I think because it's the previous financial year, we won't say too much about that. But I want to ask about this I am online question, and where it ends up by saying the matter is now with our legal team for further consideration. Now, in this morning's press, you people from Home Affairs actually locked the doors to the consultants, to these people, and said you can't come into your buildings anymore. And this morning's press, you opened the doors again. You said they can now continue. They can come in. They can come and work. So what is the actual situation as far as that's concerned? Is this correct or is it not correct?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I, unfortunately, I will not talk about what is there in the press. But in terms of the norms of operation in the committees, is that if there is a problem like this one, where there are some flaws or whatever the case may be, then again, a full report ought to be presented to us. So I think the challenge here is that we have a project which has raised too much speculation out there, and it's now of public consumption because the public has been talking about it. But however, one is also tempted to say that under the circumstances, the current report that is presented really doesn't give us much more flesh to base our arguments on. But my question remains to the Home Affairs, the DG. What are the problems, the actual problems that you picked up? And how far is it in terms of the implementation? Because you started implementing some part of this project, for instance, in OR Tambo International Airport. To some extent, is that implementation took place? Have you now forfeited or abandoned that particular process? Because I do believe that it is still in progress. You are then working, despite the fact that there are some of these challenges. The last comment on this one is, How much exactly has been spent since the beginning of this project until to date, and what are the implications thereof in the department itself? Engosi, Senator.
Honourable Board, I just want to understand your first question. The report of the department under that headline, Who Am I Online? So the department informed the supplier that given the failure to perform and deliver in accordance with the undertaking, the department is engaging the services of SAM. Now, I just like to understand the question that you are asking as to what are the issues related to that. I don't seem to understand. Like I said, taking from this bullet, that's bullet number one. So I just want the question to be clear to them, and maybe to be clear to myself as well.
Chair, thank you. This project is one of those unique projects that it involves more than just one service provider in terms of the actual implementation of the project. That is my understanding of it. But obviously, one may argue otherwise. But the point here in question is that during our budget vote, which was a couple of days ago, the Minister of Home Affairs, Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma, mentioned at the end of our budget vote, and I mean it was taking place here a couple of days ago, that despite the problems, because I've raised it in the budget vote this year, and I've raised it last year in the budget vote, particularly questions around this project. So it says that the minister at that time said that, look, we are implementing this project and we are doing it in our time. So I'm actually quoting the minister having said that. Now, it was a couple of days ago. Now, are they then opposing the minister or otherwise saying something different to what the minister was saying? That no, we are not implementing this project. We have now cutting all the operations. We have disbanded the operations completely. So my question was very simple, that how much of the project is being operationalized, which is if there are some components of the project in particular that are being implemented, and to what extent is it being implemented? Then the last question was the amount that we have spent since the beginning to date. Thank you,
Chair. Thanks, Chair. Mine is just a small question on this second last slide, the two bullets there. I just want to understand, Chair, the furthermore, the supplier has been informed that the contract is invalid and unenforceable. I just want to understand the what this bullet point means in practical terms. Because behind that, they raise in the issue of legal consideration. I just want to understand the implication, the financial implication of this particular slide itself. And guessing that the project is July 2008, and when you say now today it's invalid and impossible, I just want to understand the implication. What does it mean in real time? What does it mean? Do we anticipate that it's not going to be easy? Because that's what this one bullet at the back suggests. And if it's so, what is the kind of financial implication that we need to be wary about? Thanks, Chair.
Chairperson, thank you very much. If I did not quite understand or follow what the presenter was saying, do excuse me. But I would just like to understand payment for capital assets. During the third quarter, it was only 53.2, but at the end of the first quarter, it's 100%. Can we just explain that one? Thank you.
Now, I think the last question, the importance of the last question to ask is that what does this expenditure translate to? For the 9 months, we're only able to spend 63%, 65%. All of a sudden, on the fourth month, there is a spike to 100%. Does this translate to actual delivery of this? That is what you call the question that worries us as members. And the question that Honorable Ramatagana was raising on the expenditure present at 98%, does this take into account the fact that you have excluded now, you have invalidated this contract? What does it mean in real terms, this 98%? So, Honorable Mashiko?
Mine was maybe like Honorable Ngobo, because when we look at the compensation of employees, I think they'll have to answer the whole thing, because mine was more concerned about compensation of employees moving from 72% to 100%. It's on the same clarification that is needed.
Chair, let me start with the last one. Chair, I think that's why we have indicated that the norm for Treasury is 75%. So even when you compare 7.1 to 75%, it's not a big margin. So I think that's the first thing that we need to look at. And secondly, Chair, you'll remember that I've said when we looked at the issue, we have to look at, first let me go to capital assets. So remember that capital assets are not an issue with them. You order them. So don't go today and get them. So the process of the capital assets on the procurement process takes time. So there are those assets which have been delivered and paid them. However, in addition, we looked at it and said, look, this one, we need to shift it on this priority and that priority. But what we have to guide against, you can't take money for capital and use it for something else. So it was just a reshuffling within the capital assets of the department. And again, as we said, that it was 7. So it doesn't mean we have spent the whole 25 to 27. It was a quarter. So at your quarter, we're supposed to be at 75%, and then by year end, it should have been at 100%. Basically, what it means, in the last quarter, we've spent additional 4%, which was off the last quarter. That's what it means. Chair, coming to the issue whether what we have said is correct or not. Chair, it is correct. But what I cannot comment is what Kijima puts on the media. What we are saying here, it is correct. But what I cannot comment on is what Kijima puts on the paper. The position of the department is exactly what we're saying here. That's what is the position. Secondly, Chair, I think the issue of where am I online, the minister was clear about it. I think maybe I was there. She didn't say we have implemented where am I online in OR Tambo. She said with the SARS project, we have implemented it at OR Tambo. So that's what the minister was talking about, which was still what was saying on our slide even that the system which was developed with SARS is implemented in OR Tambo and will be ready for 2010. Then, Chair, for us, we don't want to get into the merits or demerits of the case because we, as we have indicated in our slides, that the matter is with our lawyers. So we want to follow that process. Once that process is complete, we will come, as the chair has indicated, we will come and present the whole issue of the OMI online, which, Chair, it links together with whether what we have spent to date or not. I think that is the issue which will also deal with it in the overall case. But what we said is still the same, what the minister said and what was saying.
We understand very well what you say, Pichu. We understand that the issues that you think they are subject to care, we really appreciate that. But the matter is, if you explain to us if there's a relationship with the services to citizens, for instance, at the end of the third quarter, goods and services, end of the third quarter, they were at 61.4%. Right, capital payments, we understand 53%. But at the end of the fourth quarter, everything is 100% spent up to date. Now, the issue that we are raising, and we have had an extensive discussion as a committee around this matter, because we are expecting that department will be at 100% come the fourth quarter. But the issue that we are raising with the department, starting with yourself, is does this expenditure really translate to service delivery? Or is it a matter of knowing that at the end of the year, we must have what you call throw these monies away? Because for us, we would like really to, with the portfolio committee, responsible to ensure that we do oversight on the, not only accountability, but also oversight to ensure that these issues are translated into real service delivery. And I think that is the issue that Mamunuko was raising there.
Let's take, for instance, services to citizens in the third quarter. They were at 65%.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be at 75%. And we are saying why they were at 65% is because 104 million rand, which was for smart card, was not spent. So that's why there was a difference of 10% to the last third quarter. But what did we do? Now, in the last quarter, then we went to National Treasury and said, Treasury, we've got money which we are not going to spend, but we are owing government printer, as an example, for printing of passports, 119 million. Give us an approval to use that money to pay the government printer. So that's why now we're at 100%. That's what we've explained.
Ubani onekopi lapha TFMA. Taba is got a copy of the TFMA. If you have, please give it to the DG.
How are you sure that the DG doesn't have his own copy? No, I want to ask you. We really have. He says he has it in his head.
I can see it. DG, well, in terms of the Section 43 of the PFMA, you're quite right. You have to deal with these things. I mean, you have to ask for approval from National Treasury. But my understanding is that during the NCDPS process, not NCDPS, but the adjustment process, that those requests must be approved by Parliament. Now, you're saying to us, you came after that process. You went after that process to National Treasury. Now, this is in line with the Public Finance Management Act, your action.
Yes, sir, it is. Firstly, an accounting officer is allowed to shift funds between the main of the vote up to 8%. That's the first thing. That is not to go through the parliament. Secondly, Chair, the National Treasurer has got a power to shift funds between capital to other items. So the reason why the department wrote to Treasurer in terms of this act was to exercise Section 70 of the PFMA, which allows Treasurer to do that. So when you go to Parliament is when you deal with the rollovers, when you deal with the adjustment appropriations. So what we were following as a department is what is within our right.
Now it's fine. It's fine, but I think that from our side we need to follow. We'll follow that matter. But maybe before we, can I allow then Honourable Mashiko? Is there any other member, Honourable Balindela, Honourable Nasboni?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we must now make the department understand that there's what you call proper planning. Because every year they can't just be going to National Treasury, ask for money for government printers. Because government printers also has its own way of raising funds, raising income. Now, last year, there was money transferred to government printers, which was a once-off for buying a passport machine. But it seems they ask for money again, which has something to do with passports. We'd like to know how they plan, because immediately an accounting officer can tell us that they have the right to go to National Treasury and ask for money to be transferred. It means basically that money was stored somewhere for them to take at a certain time of the year and use it for something for which they were not sure that they should plan or not. We would like to know for how, at the end of this financial quarter, how many funds were moved from where to where because of their inability to plan properly, because it basically comes to that. Because at the beginning of the year, a department should be knowing that we are going to use so much, we are going to use so much, we are going to use so much, and not be where they are, I'm sure, take the money and charge it at a certain corner of their program. And towards the end of the year, for their 100%, they go and spend that money and rush to National Treasury so that money should be shuffled around because they have the PFMA, which they'll say we have that 8%. Which we can use between us and the National Treasury, of which I think we should also blame National Treasury for agreeing to do that. When at the beginning of the year, National Treasury saw exactly what they had budgeted for and for what purpose. And at the end of the year, they just agree with the accounting officers to move the money from some. We are not satisfied about what the acting DG is saying. It's totally unfair. It might be in the PFMA. It's unfair. We'd like to know why they move monies like this. Government printers every year, or any other department, because they have the power to move that money around. I think we'll be happy before we submit our first quarter report to know why the transfers are done like this. Why this? A chronic consultation with National Treasury because they are being covered by the PFMA is not acceptable, Chairperson. Thank you.
Honourable Member, just a small correction. We have a Director General. There's nobody acting his full time.
I'm sorry.
Thank you very much, Chair. Last week, the DG gave us an assurance that as far as assets and liabilities are concerned,
the issue of the asset register that is no longer there is a thing of the past. And the DG did indicate that there will be no more dummy assets or assets that are not having anyone to claim, assets that are not barcoded. This is a report we got from the DG. And looking at the financial transactions now, I wanted to believe that the reason why the department got the qualified audit was because it got the disclaimer and then the qualified audit. Can the DG now assure us that with this improvement, there really will be no more a qualified or disclaimer in future, as we see how much they've now spent? The second one is just on the suspense account. Chair, I just wanted to find out from the DG and the department whether really they are assuring us that there are no ghost stories that will come up at the end of the year. Thank you, Chair.
DG, you will you have the question, but let's just hold on to the questions until you produce the annual report, DG. And for now, please, honorable members, let's just focus on the first quarterly report. But those questions are hanging there. The first questions will respond when you come with the annual report. It will be those questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Tibetan. I'm not sure, maybe my ears are not serving me quite well, and I would like some assistance here. I know there is no doctor who can help me with this. I need to be put in. Say, we are raising some of these issues because of our passion for the work we do as members. I think all of us, we understand that. The question which I initially raised, which you trying to get some kind of clarification on, there is too much there which one doesn't want to leave this meeting unsure of what is it that is happening. The first point is that you have a project which one has seen that there are problems. And then immediately, when you see those problems, then you ask the legal team to get involved, because then you are removing the supplier, or you suspending the process, the services of the supplier. Then you see legal opinion. Now there's this disturbing factor that, look, in the meantime we'll take SARS and we'll ask them to help us somewhere in terms of this implementation of the project. Is it true or not? Because I want to get that clarity so that the DG and I, we don't get into the same boxing activity that I'm saying that they say, and that the minister said that they will do A, B, and C. Did you get my input, Jay? So I just need more clarity that this is what we have done, this is where we are in terms of where my online project. And this is the reason why we are seeking the legal opinion. Because for now there are no reasons, except to say that because we feel that the contract was invalid and it's unforeseeable. So we want to make sure that we address those. Now the last question is on the general expenditure of the department on the third quarterly report. That one really can see some progress in so far as the expenditure is concerned. But can we get the assurance from the department that as far as the expenditure is concerned, and the rush, as you have raised it earlier, that there seems to be a very significant improvement from the third quarter to the latter, that rush would not really culminate into, you know, some kind of many irregular expenditures and obviously fruitless and wasteful expenditures, so that we can try and deal with some of those at the earlier part of the report. That is the last point which I want to raise. And I'm hoping that I was very clear. I know I might have confused others in that process, but I wanted to be very clear.
You were clear, Madam Member. I know that I will request the PG to respond when the time comes. PG, I already requested to take down this question. I know you have responded to some of the questions, but please repeat them for the sake of
The initial question which I raised
was concerning the expenditure of this project. As to, I raised earlier, but it was not responded to, that how much have we spent to date in terms of the project itself, and how much do we still need to spend or allocate to the project in terms of the actual budget of the budget allocation.
Honorable Ramachaka. Oh, you didn't have your hand up. No, I like you, you know, get to worry if your hand is not up. Honorable Ramachaka.
Chair, thanks. I don't necessarily want to disagree with the DC about the powers and the right on the PMFA for the accounting officer to do particular to functions or to be effective. But I just want to ask this question. I would like to read that report on the fourth quarter and to understand the shifting aspect, because probably the shifting is informed by the assessment that you do from time to time, from quarter to quarter. So it would be interesting to read it. But the question I want to ask the Chair is, does it mean that the approach to shift the money to government printing, or put differently, was that particular cost not budgeted for? Hence, the reason that you want, when you see the last quarter is approaching, we then realize that, by the way, there's another expense that we need to pay, and therefore we still have the money in the budget. Let's now ask the Treasury to pay, to shift this money to that cost. Does it mean that it was not budgeted for? So that's the question I'm asking. If it was budgeted for, what does it mean it was under budgeted for? Or if it was budgeted for, what actually happened with the money that was budgeted for? And I understand clearly that your contention is that 71% is not a major problem, because the norm is 75, so it was 4%. So what is a 4%? But when you deal with millions and money that we're dealing with, 4% is a substantial amount of money. So I just want to ask, was it budgeted for this item, or was it not budgeted for? Hence, then deciding on the last minute for this, in avoiding, and I want to put this point, because if money is not rolled over, it obviously it will affect the baseline budgeting, and therefore the only way for the accounting officer is to find a smart, within the law, footwork to protect the baseline budgeting for the next financial year. Thanks, Chair. So I just want to answer that question, if the DG could answer that question. But I would like to read the informing thesis of that particular shifting at the end of the financial year. I'd like to read that with interest. Then we will talk again. Thanks.
DG.
I think on this 8%, I was not putting it as if the DG's got the right.
Sorry, I just want to say, when you respond, I agree with Honorable Ramachaka that I would really like to engage with you on this question, more on this question of biomass. Because Section 43.4 is very clear that this section does not authorize the utilization of a saving in an amount specifically and exclusively appropriated for a purpose in whatever the National Treasury does, but this section does not allow to the National Treasury to allow for this. So I agree with the Honorable Members who said that we would like to engage with you and National Treasury on this matter, so that if Section 43.4 is no longer valid. We need to understand. We know that the other sections, 1 and 2, I mean subsections 1 and 2, there's a confusion in terms of what the accounting officer can do, the request that can be made. But Section 4.4 makes a specific, what you call it, a ruling in terms of what is it that, which money may not be appropriated, may or may not be appropriated. And it may not be authorized in terms of allowing them to be used for something else, irrespective of your interest or whatever, because they are exclusively, and specifically appropriated. But then, let's focus then on those questions, or on these questions. We will, what you call it, invite you for this.
Look, I think let's take that line to say that issue, we will follow it in that manner. I think that the issue of whether the member raised whether we have properly planned, why are we transferring funds, which links with what honourable member has raised. With the why we had this problem? The department properly planned for its budget. However, there was an issue of a fraud in the past. South Africa was even denied by British to recognise our passports. That happened in the middle of the financial year. What that process meant is that the passport was at 100 rand cost, which was given a budget by National Treasury. And those security features which were added on the passport made that a passport costed 270 rand per passport. And then in the budget, we've got 100 rand, the passport is 270. Then the department was forced that it can't sit and say, let us not put the security features in the passport until the next round of the budget, because we had to put something to make our passport credible. Then the process, Chair, is that when you're going to change a tariff, you had to go to National Treasury to approve that tariff. And that process only happens in August of each financial year before you submit your budget. So that step was already passed. So hence, we had to look what was in the budget of the department and approached National Treasury. We didn't unilaterally did the shift at our own. We had to place our case in Treasury and explain the issue of the passport, and then based on that, then Treasury agreed. Secondly, Chair, on the same vein, Treasury also submitted the right tariffs, which will kick in the 2010-11. So we're just waiting for their response here in April. So that was the reason which caused this problem. It was something of the passports, which because of the problem of their credibility, we had to work on them and change the total, our passport is completely changed. So that was the reason. So it links, you know, with what happened on the question number one, is that it's not that we didn't plan properly in terms of what we're supposed to do. We had the budget, it was at 100 rand per passport. That's what was sitting in our budget. But due to that problem which came in, we had to change that passport in the middle of the financial year, and then that's why again we had to go and request it. Chair, I think you said I must leave the questions of the annual report, so I'll leave those questions as you said. Then the issue of the issue of who am I online. Chair, I still repeat that the minister in the budget speech, he said, the system everything we are implementing for the 2010, we are doing that together with SARS. So that's the system which the minister was talking about. And she says the system is being rolled in the OR Tambo, and also roll it, I think, on the 34 parts of the industry. That's what she said on the speech. Chair, with regard to the issue of the expenditure of the report, of this whole thing, Chair, it goes back to what I've said, that this is the matter of debate between the two parties. So we don't want to get into that, Chair, until we followed that process. But there's going to be a question you ask once I said this is for what? And for, then it gets to the argument of the whole matter to say was that or not. So that's why I'm saying, Chair, on that one we really hamstrung to get into detail around that issue of the money online. Chair, I think the issue of the, yes, the expenditure is looking right in terms of the percentage. Yes, we know that at the end of the day, that expenditure must be what the objectives of the department. It must not be wasteful. It must not be unauthorized. So all those things, we have looked at them. However, Auditor General will also pronounce whether what I'm saying is it true or not. But we have made sure that the money has been spent for the people.
Fine. It looks like the members are satisfied for this dinner. Sorry? That's correct. Until we unveil that subjudicate. Honorable Matthew.
Thank you, Chairperson. I firstly want to apologize.
You're closing it now, no?
First, I want to apologize for being late. I actually got lost belonging to so many committees, not knowing where the room is. Chair, I just want to raise also concerns on the OMI online. We all know the controversy we read in the newspapers. And I really don't want to be a nuisance, but we as Parliament have an obligation when it comes to oversight. And yes, there is a lot of controversies when it comes to the OMI online. But what is very uncertain to us, Chairperson, and what we would like to know in terms of the controversies, in the annual report of CETA, in page 76, in terms of the Auditor General's report on...
What annual report is that? 2009. 2009.
Yes.
CETA has already issued an annual report.
Yeah, I want to make my point in terms of the controversy.
No, I just want first we must first understand the report so that we follow because we are just on one page with you. If the report that you're talking to is an annual report, in other words, my question is, what annual report is that? Is that because annual report for 2009-2010 is not out yet now. Which one are you referring to? Is it 2008-2009? But the problem that I have as well, with respect, before you came, we agreed that at least we limit ourselves to the report that was raised. But if you're making a reference, there is no problem. But I just hope that it's in line with what we have at the time. I don't have a problem with making a reference to whatever report that is there. But because the problem is that now I understand the temptation of wanting to participate in the debate when you did not come on time, honorable member. You know, I hear your excuse.
No, I'll rest my case, Chair, but what I would like to ask is, when was the tender going out so quickly? 129 million rand.
Just look at the report, please. You see, that is the problem. Please, just give the report to honorable members. Please, tell me that. Just give
give the report to the Honorable Manchur, it doesn't have the report, because if the question that he's raising, they are contained in the report. And the final, what we call the final submission of the department is that the matter is part to decay. So, please, I'm sure the member doesn't have the copy of the report in front of him.
Do you have? Chair, please.
Please, let's discuss some of the things in the passages, please. Let's not go back. We've taken a long time on this matter. If then there are no, on that note, if there are no other questions, Department, do you want to, do you have anything to say in addition?
Thank you.
Okay, again, we'll wait for the unveiling of that. Okay, thank you very much, sir. And, that's to the chapter, that's to the department and the committee is that as parliament now we have what is called the money bill amendment, the Procedures and Related Matters Act. I think it's not making things very easy for departments, because one of the questions that I really raised about the size and all those things, it means that the portfolio committee will evaluate. Yes, when it uses an annual report. That annual report will have an impact on the adjustment, on the budget. Things are not really going to be easier. We would really appeal to, okay.
Dr. Ramachakan, you are disturbing the meeting, Chief. You know, we appreciate the fourth estate being part of the meeting, but not to disturb the meeting, man. Common courtesy would require that you just wait until the meeting is concluded. Then you may ask whomever you please, whatever questions that you like. Thanks.
Thank you for protection, Chairperson. So all I'm just saying is that let's please ensure that we do our best. And I would like to say, those of us who understand the department from some years up to now, I think we should, what we call, comment that the department has really moved. I don't want to say it has really turned the corner, but I think maybe it's almost there. And thank you very much, Chairperson.
Chair, thank you. Members, stakeholders, departments, thank you very much, good folks. Meet you next time.